Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Alonso at third, Martinez at second. Cubs with a 1-0 lead. Now the 1-2. McNeil hits one in the air to left. Angling toward the line, Happ makes the catch. Alonso tags. Here comes the throw. The relay home is in time. Beautiful play by Nick Madrigal. The Cubs hold on and beat the Mets 1-0 on the game-saving double play. Ian Happ, the catch in left. The relay to Madrigal, who came home with a strike to tag out Alonso trying to score. And the Cubs beat the Mets 1-0. What drama here in New York.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. What drama there in New York, Mr. David.
You heard Ron Coomer devilishly chuckling because he knew the Cubs got away with one. I think he sensed that. I think Pete Alonso, had he been called safe, would have been the call that was upheld upon further review, and it did take a while. But that was a bang-bang play, and that was a controversial finish. And the Cubs, all's well that ends well. I think you look at the interpretation of the rule as we did, and you cite the rule book as we had to. It's one of those things that you just feel fortunate, I think, if you're a Cub fan, that they got away with that, because Hector Neris wasn't good, put them in harm's way. Pete Crow Armstrong, as we pointed out, the ball bounced off his glove. He's never going to get an error on that. He covered a lot of ground to get there. I think that should be also stated, as one texter pointed out, there's no way you would have gotten to that ball. Of course not.
No. No one said you would. It's just his reputation and his he is preceded by all these plays of him doing spectacular things.
We've seen it before. And he's very casual when it's a routine pop-up. Yes. You think he can do everything and make it look very simple. And Mike Tauchman was on with Parkinson Spiegel yesterday afternoon talking Bears, talking Cubs, but he was asked kind of facetiously to rank the outfielders on the Cubs, the center fielders, and I think it was a lighthearted question intended to be by Matt Spiegel. I think Tauchman took it pretty seriously, but in that he said Pete Crow Armstrong, he kind of implied that he's here because of his glove, so he would be the guy.
Yes.
Even though last night after he didn't catch that ball, I wondered if Tauchman would have caught it.
I see now. It's so
because Tauchman is the guy that took the one away in St. Louis, and he makes these kind of catches all the time. I think
Luis Robert would have caught it.
Probably so. He might have been there just a tick sooner.
Yeah.
I don't want to be too critical. All's well that ends well. But it was a tough, taut ninth inning, because you're sitting there at the edge of your seat waiting for something good to happen if you're a Cub fan, and then all of this stuff happens. You're like, okay, they're going to lose this game.
Right.
And then they don't. And Coombs chuckling because he knows they got away with one.
And you know what? We should listen to Ron Darling. Because he, I love saying Ron, darling.
Did you say Ron, comma, darling? Are you calling me darling?
That's how I say his name.
Thanks, sweetie.
Yeah, I'm just curious. Brandon, do you have Ron, darling? Yeah, we should listen to Ron.
The Mets analyst.
Darling.
My first reaction is he blocked the plate because I could tell what he was trying to do. He was trying to just make sure because Pete had to know the play wasn't coming in from left field. So he might have had a play at getting in pretty easily. But once Madrigal threw it in there, you could see Amaya just standing on that plate, just ready to drop that left knee. But he stood on the back of the plate, which allows Pete that portion of the front of the plate to get his hand in.
Yep. But the hand bounced. It didn't come down on the plate.
Right.
So right as the tag was made, you could make the argument that it was a tie, that the hand hit the plate as the glove hit the shoulder, which would make him safe. But there wasn't enough evidence for the replay officials, I guess, to make that call, given the fact that the out call was made on the field.
Right. And if Pete comes in and gets that hand down, he's safe.
And, you know, it also brings up the point that we make all the time. Going in hand first to home plate is not the most efficacious way of being safe.
It's a good way to get hurt. That's with the shin guard. But you can go in strong with your feet. But I think Ronnie called it. I mean, I don't think he was blocking the plate. He gave Pete the plate. It was pretty obvious. If it had been a safe call, this game is tied. It was an out call. They weren't going to overturn it.
We've seen so many catchers, Gary, who stand kind of in front of the plate and sweep the hand, and it's too late. He stood behind the plate and dropped in front of it at some point, which made it more difficult for Pete. Pete did as good a job as he could do to try to get that hand in, but Ramos with the out call. That was it.
And I guess the thing that needs to be parsed as far as the blocking rule is concerned, if you put your foot on the plate and you're taking away most of the plate, but you give that little front edge, is that sufficient? I guess what the replay officials felt as though it is.
Yeah. I remember a few years ago we were doing a game and one of the catchers for the Pittsburgh Pirates stood behind the plate and took the throw and he said, that's going to be the play in the future. And we kind of laughed at it, scoffed at him. That is the play right now, to stand behind the plate and then drop in front.
It worked for the Cubs. Hap made a good throw and Madrigal made a better throw and Amaya made a terrific tag and the play was as close as could possibly be.
And that's the Mets broadcast. You're hearing Gary Cohen. He's the lead play-by-play guy. The analysts are Keith Hernandez and Ron Darling.
I'm shocked at how well they took that news and how they explained it thoroughly. But I'm shocked that they didn't look at it more from a New York perspective because you could have really shaped it in the way that would have led people to believe the Mets got robbed.
That was like a national broadcast.
Yeah.
And those guys are like national broadcasters. Mm-hmm. And Ron, darling, is a Yaley. So he's obviously bright enough. He's not going to overreact. I thought that they were so reasonable about it that honestly, listening to that makes it sound like it wasn't even in question. Whereas, you know, even the manager's out there screaming. And everybody's going crazy.
I think the crowd's going nuts.
The problem with the whole thing is it's as simple as even if it, you know, tie goes to the runner. Even if it is a bang-bang play like that, the call the umpire makes when you're going to any kind of replay is got to be overturned by visual evidence. And if it's that close, you go with the call made on the field, always with replay. And I think the more time it took, the more I felt like they were going to call it.
Did you include that Ron Darling went to Yale because the word efficacious was used during that description? Did you hear that?
That's awesome.
Efficacious about the way that Pete Alonso should or people sliding into.
And you had said something along those lines. Just
I didn't
not
use
as
efficacious.
Eloquently.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was not as eloquent.
You grunted out some similar response earlier.
Don't slide head first into home plate because you could get your hand amputated, as Dustin said.
Dustin mentioned the amputation. You know, I know you have guys nicknamed Machete, but I don't think you could pull one out.
No, I don't think so. No. I think Pete Alonso was the reason the Cubs won that game, because it was closer than it needed to be. The fact that there was a play at the plate like that is a testament to his inability to run fast.
And again,
as much as anything,
when he got hit, you know, it wasn't him on third base where they should have replaced him. They should have had a pinch runner the minute he got on base, because as a texter pointed out, his nickname is the polar bear. It's a nickname of affection given to him by the third base coach because he can hit a home run. So somehow he became the polar bear. But if you think about a polar bear, that is not the fastest animal in the world. Like, that's not a cheetah, for instance.
No.
Another good sports nickname in the NFL.
Yeah, no, he's certainly nicknamed the right animal after the right animal because he's not fast at all. I was also a little surprised, and we heard this afterward, and we saw some evidence as on social media when don't do the Caleb claw to me.
I'm giving
not
you
that
a
kind of bear.
It's a polar bear.
Not that kind of okay. Not that kind of claw.
Sorry.
When the catcher puts his foot on home plate, as Miguel Amaya did, and there's video evidence of this that was circulated by Andy Martino of SNY, then it's supposedly you can't do that. It's illegal. And they sent out a memo in spring training, apparently, about what was legal and illegal. And what Miguel Amaya did, according to those images, was against the rules. So Cubs got away with one. You're going to take it and run. You're going to try to win the series today. Three out of four. You got Ben Brown on the bump. You got the skipper, Craig Counsell, ready to go.
Instead of sliding head first, should the polar bear have tried to run over the catcher? Is that allowed? I'm just asking.
No, you're not going to plow somebody.
But what if he just kept – what if he stood up the whole way? Well, I'm asking the question. We have a texter asking a similar question. If he hadn't – could the throw have hit him in the back, hit him in the foot? If he kept standing?
I think you don't keep standing. You're going feet first. I just think you're going feet first, and you try to do the hook slide or whatever it is. I just think when you go in head first, like if you're going into first base,
your nickname is the polar bear, you can't do the trick slide. You can't kind of Willie Mays it at home.
You need to just go in feet first and take your chances. Okay. I think head first is if you're stealing second, that may be the time to do it, but I don't think it is when you're going – home. And I'm sure people will point out that there have been some like famous headfirst slides in the home plate, and I'm sure that those are examples that might be the exception to the rule. The rule is typically, as you heard, too many people try that, and it's not efficacious at all.
The key to the game, the real story behind the game, I mean, obviously that play was the game in a nutshell. But Shota Imanaga, his ERA is crazy. I mean, the fact that we're talking now after another shutout performance, his ERA is lowered to, what is he?
He's 0.78. Microscopic ERA.
So Dustin did the research. Yep. And the lowest single season ERA in league history was posted by Tim Keefe.
Oh, what year was
who's
that?
Who's 0.86 ERA and 105 innings pitched for the National League's Troy Trojans in 1880.
1880.
Led his closest competitor by 52.52 runs. In the American League, it's Dutch Leonard's 0.96 ERA that is the single-season record.
Well,
I don't know when Dutch Leonard was around. But I'm pretty sure that despite that ERA, I don't believe Tim Keefe won the Cy Young because I'm pretty sure it wasn't an award yet.
I don't think Cy Young was done with his career yet, 1880. I thought I was having a dated reference when I went back to 1981.
Right.
You're going 1880. To 1880.
That's right. That's how long baseball's been around.
Let's just suffice to say it's a historic start for Shota Imanaga. He's making all kinds of history back to the 80s. And I wonder now what the right approach is moving forward, because you are getting healthier with your rotation. You are getting Justin Steele back. Theoretically, Kyle Hendricks could come back after facing the Tennessee pitching for Tennessee today. And you see what Jameson Taillon is doing and Javier Assad, and we're happy about Ben Brown. when you have everyone healthy, it's a great problem to have. But I do wonder, because it's such a long season and they've talked about spacing out Imanaga's starts, I don't think they're going to be get too excited about this start and change anything they had planned before the season began. So if they thought that they're going to, in June, maybe space out his starts every 6 days instead of every fifth day, that's still a plan you want to follow, and Carter Hawkins can help us understand that better when we talk to him at 9 o'clock.
And to put it in perspective, just to throw it in perspective, 1880, that's 15 years after the end of the Civil War. 15. Like, what was 15 years ago? 2010? 2009?
2009, yeah.
I mean, seriously?
Yeah, that's... It's a long time ago. It's a lot of history. It's a lot of pitches.
Ridiculous.
They did not have the movie Spider-Man to be referenced by Shota Imanaga or anybody else back in 1880.
Who is the star pitcher right now of the Troy Trojans?
Troy Trojans don't exist.
Oh, damn it.
They don't exist.
Where in Troy? Was it actually a Greek team?
I think that was back in the day.
It wasn't in Michigan.
The biggest fan was Helen.
Her face launched 1,000 ships. 312-644-6767 is the telephone number. We're talking about the Cubs with the incredible 1-0 victory.
Incredible.
And it was. It was incredible. It was incredible that the run held up. Shota Imanaga was fantastic. The run, by the way, that was pretty awesome, because you got a leadoff double. You got a guy moving to third base, and he ends up scoring on a sacrifice fly by the aforementioned Pete Crow Armstrong.
PCA. Now, that's a big week for PCA. He had a home run at Wrigley Field that a week ago helped win a ball game. Biggest hit in that game. He had the only RBI in a 1-0 game against the Mets.
That's right.
This is somebody that came up unexpectedly because Cody Bellinger went out with a rib injury, and you wondered if he was going to be an asset offensively. He has been. That's a bonus because, yeah, he's here because of his glove. He's here because of his base running. And you wondered if he was ever going to get a hit. Well, he's hit in the first week, so good for him.
He's got 5 hits? Is that what he has?
He might.
Got 4 singles and the homer? Is that what it is?
I think he's got 4 singles and a homer, and he tried to break up the no-hitter the other night with the bunt.
Boo.
Yeah, it's okay.
No, I'm
he's been in the news. He's been relevant. He's been part of things. He's been in the mix. I think he probably would admit, I haven't seen anything attributed to him post-game yet, but I bet you he would be the first to tell you he wishes he would have that play over again last night, would have got a better jump, and maybe not have jumped as high once he got to the ball and come down with it. If it hits his glove, my guess is Pete Crow Armstrong is going to believe he should catch the ball. And it hit his glove, and it bounced off. It's like a good receiver in football.
Yeah, I mean, again,
it hits in the hands, got to come down with the catch.
But we're sitting here and we're saying, like for instance, let's just say for the sake of argument, you know, there's a ball that is hit into the outfield, and Ian Happ has got a gold glove. He breaks on the ball, and you're like, is he going to catch it? He gets there, the ball bounces out, and it's like a double catch, spectacular. That's an out. That's a great catch. If the ball bounces out and hits the ground, are we now saying he should have caught that?
Yes.
I think that's an awful high standard.
He's a Gold Glove winning outfielder.
And he caught it, and it was great. My question, though, is there's a difference between a Gold Glove shortstop who can't throw the ball to first base for some reason versus a Gold Glove outfielder that's running 40 yards and the ball bounces out.
When you win a Gold Glove, you establish a certain level and standard. And when you raise those standards, the expectations come with that. So,
and you know what? You know how you win another Gold Glove? You make that catch, and then you catch the ball and hit the cutoff man. That was Gold Glove play by Ian Happ.
Nobody's questioning Ian Happ. Yeah. If he had dropped that ball and it bounced out of his glove, it might be a different story.
You would be questioning him. Okay.
Might be.
All right.
And if he didn't, and if he tried to sail the throw over Madrigal and it was late, you might have wondered that too.
Okay.
But that's the way it goes.
When you're good at what you do, you're good at what you do. So Pete Crow Armstrong has to make that catch.
Yes.
Okay.
Because
he's in the big leagues because he's a defensive
specialist. He's here because of his glove.
I'm just saying,
That's because it hit him in the glove.
But it's a big ask. He covered ground.
It was a tremendous athletic play to get to the ball, but then you got to finish it.
Okay.
It's not a
ping-pong
paddle.
If it hits you in the hands, you got to catch it.
My point is simply, you're almost punishing him because he's so good.
Welcome to the big leagues, kid. That's why you're here.
Okay.
It's easy to say.
I'm just clarifying.
But to whom much is given, much is expected.
That's fair.
And he's given a lot of ability and great opportunity. So now, I think
it would have been his fault had they not won the game. We'd be sitting here, we're playing the blame game.
Well,
it would be a lot different.
It would be a lot different conversation.
That bum PCA letdown showed up.
No bum.
But make the catch. Look,
here's the other thing. Here's the other thing too, which crossed my mind. If you're gonna be the coolest kid in class, every time there's a routine fly ball and you want to catch it at your shoulders and you want to look like you have been, I love PCA, you know that. But if you're going to be the pizzazz guy, you got to come up with the pizzazz catch. And that was one that was a big ask. But if you're going to look as cool as he tends to look, make the catch.
When you're going to paint your hair blue, you got to make sure that you fly and you have flu. What? I'm trying to come up with a nursery rhyme. Didn't work. 312-644-6767. Isn't that kind of asking a lot?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's Mully and Haw on the score.
Alonso being held on at first by Bush. First pitch to Martinez is hit high in the air, deep to right center field. Crow Armstrong at the wall, leaps! And he's not able to make the catch, but knocks the ball down. Martinez cruises into second base with a double. Alonso at third. Pete Crow Armstrong with a monster leap in right center field right near the wall. This would have been extra bases no matter what. He knocked it down. Talkman picked up the ball and quickly got it back into the infield. But the Mets now threatening with men at second and third, and just one away here in the last of the ninth.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. That's Zach Zabeman filling in. He's been fantastic.
Fantastic.
Getting that job done. And, you know, we love the broadcast, and it was tons of fun to hear that. But hopefully everything's okay, and we'll have everyone back together soon. But Zach did a great job filling in, and he did a great job of explaining that. And you could hear in his voice that when he saw Armstrong go up, he thought he was going to make the catch.
Yeah, because he was there. He covered the ground. He used his speed. He relied on his instincts. Maybe he didn't get the greatest jump on the ball according to the way he typically does, but he was there. And he, in football terms, he was there, he was open, and he dropped the pass.
Wow.
I'm just saying, he went up there and the ball bounced off his glove, Mully.
I know what you're saying.
Everyone saw the same thing.
He blew it. It's his fault.
Blame is a kind of sounds again, a little pejorative.
If he makes that play, we're sitting there like, wow, that, you know, that is an incredible play he made.
He's conditioned us to say wow.
Okay.
He's conditioned us to expect
He's ruined us.
No, he's not ruined anything.
No.
I want to expect
wow. Now we're
wow.
holding him to so, a standard good. That he can't possibly
Have you paid
to.
Attention? PCA is a prospect, the number one prospect in the Cubs organization. You want to have guys in your lineup where you expect wow moments.
He's only there for his defense. I do understand that. But I do think that you like fate or a cruel son of a gun.
There's nothing cruel about me.
You are this take is cruel. Freddie is listening on the Odyssey app. Hey, Freddie, what's up?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good.
One thing, if he would have closed his glove, he's trying to be Mr. Cool out there. I looked at the replay 1,000 times yesterday, and his hand, if you look at his palm, is outside the glove, and that's why he couldn't close it. He had the ball in there. So tell Mr. Cool that we need these games, not to be too cool and tighten up. I love you guys. Have a good day.
Thanks, Freddie. I love that call.
I love Freddie.
I love Freddie, too.
Yeah. If he's going to give his love to us, I think.
You love Freddie? Hold on.
Who are we not to share it?
I shared love
with Freddie.
That was a
beautiful moment.
I'll share our love with Freddie. It was a beautiful moment. My heart is warmed.
Thank you.
But Freddie said the same thing I did, and you love Freddie, and I'm out of line?
He said it with love.
I'm cruel, but Freddie, lean in for the hug, big guy.
You are a cruel mistress.
Okay. Let's get back to those lovely John, phone callers.
John's in Logan Square. Hey, John, how are you?
Hey, guys, how's it going? It's funny because Lawrence had this take, I think, last week that sometimes PCA swagginess gets in the way of his being a skilled ball player. Yesterday, it wasn't so much that the glove missed the ball. It's that he took his eyes off of the play and looked at the runner because he wanted to make a double play to end the game. That's what I think happened. Hmm. Anyway, he wanted something fantastic to occur. Anyway, I think baseball this year is really interesting, and people blasted the Cubs for not spending a lot in the offseason, but they've created so much depth in the organization with all these guys going down. They're still 19-12 and very, very highly competitive within baseball. For example, Kansas City, and this is ridiculous, is a higher run differential than the LA Dodgers. It's crazy. But I think now teams are learning that having depth to call up, having people who can replace guys who get injured, the bullpens that are really up and down, it really is kind of the way to be sustainable and have stable success in baseball these days.
Well, I appreciate the phone call and the sentiments. I do think that it can't be lost or forgotten that as well as the Cubs are positioned to rely on this organizational depth, they paid a steep price to be in this situation. They unloaded. They rebuilt. They bottomed out. And that was painful. That was painful to watch Anthony Rizzo and Javier Baez and Chris Bryant be traded for prospects and then to bottom out so you get good draft picks and all the things that require teams to start over. Maybe the Sox could pay attention. But I think when you look at that, I get that's a great position to be in now, but I don't know that you want to suggest or frame it as like, boy, this was fun. No, it stunk. Very long years. And maybe the Cubs are back in contention quicker than maybe most teams would be. They've made some really smart trades. They've made some really good draft picks. So compliment that. But I don't know that this is the method you want to say, like, oh boy, and forget how painful it was to that descent was a long, arduous one. It took its toll.
Yes, there's no doubt about it. And I think partly because of who was cleared out, right? It wasn't just that they cleared guys out and then they built a team back up. They went through tough years and built a team back up. It's the guys that they, you know, the fact that you had the 108 years and you rolled everyone out.
Mm-hmm.
The professor is last man standing, and he'll be pitching tonight in Tennessee. And that team that we thought was going to really be there for a long time and produce so much, watching those guys leave has been difficult. Watching glimpses of them from afar, whether it's seeing Rizzo in New York or seeing Schwarber travel, his multi-travels.
Exactly.
Or sending the search party out for Chris Bryant and Javi Baez.
Witness protection in Denver. Yes. And speaking of Javi Baez, back to the topic of the day.
Yes.
Pete Crow Armstrong was only in a position to misplay that fly ball because he was traded for Javi Baez. Javi Baez was traded and he came to the Cubs, and back in return was Pete Crow Armstrong. So Pete Crow Armstrong came to the Cubs system during that one of those trades that was hard to take at the time. And now you're like, oh, well, this is great. It is great, but it wasn't that easy to go through that.
Let's try Dan. Dan is in Cary. Hey, Dan.
Hey, what's up, fellas? I'm just wondering, you know, I heard it on the radio, so I like the perspective from everybody that was watching it. But it sounded like an awesome play, and he wasn't credited with an error.
No.
He got under it as quick as he could. He got up there. He knocked the ball down. He stopped further damage, right? Like, it's awesome to be back in Chicagoland and hear all this all the time. I appreciate you guys. I listen to you every day on the way in. So, thanks, fellas.
Bless you. Thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Thanks for the phone call. I think it sounded like Zach called it exactly the way it happened. And there was an expectation maybe. Should he have – would most center fielders have been – able to get to that ball in time? Maybe not. PCA speed and his instincts are very good.
I would argue that most guys on base would be able to score on that play.
Well, no doubt about that.
That was the that's
different
the
argument
part
there.
Of it,
yes.
That's the part of it that was insane.
Yeah.
Honestly, if they had a different guy than Pete Alonso on base, and again, I get it. Maybe we're going to extra innings, but you get a guy on base, get your fastest player out there. Because you want to win the game.
That's their problem. They tried
Tie
hard.
The game.
They lost that game as much as the Cubs won that game.
Yes. And
let
maybe
me ask you this.
That's why they're complaining as much.
Let me ask you this. So, who would you rather have in that position to make that catch? And rank these in order, please.
Okay.
Cody Bellinger, Mike Tauchman, PCA. In center field.
Well, that's unfair.
No, it's not.
No, because the answer is PCA.
No, it's not.
Well, let me finish. The answer is PCA, but he didn't make the play. So obviously he's not the answer now.
I don't know why you'd say that. Because
I think PCA is the best defensive player among those three.
By reputation.
Right. And so you would expect him to make that play more so than the other two.
I'm influenced by results.
But they are both taller than him.
I know.
And so without offending Dustin, sometimes the taller player that doesn't need to time his jump in the same fashion as a faster.
That wasn't a short guy problem yesterday.
Not a short guy
problem. That wasn't a short guy problem.
But you're taking more steps to get there than a man who's of normal human height.
I don't know that Cody Bellinger gets there, though.
I was totally insulting you.
You don't think Cody Bellinger gets there?
I don't know if he gets there.
He's got some long loping strides.
Yeah.
He covers some ground pretty effortlessly.
You know, Tauchman makes that catch.
Yes.
If he's there.
Thank you. That's my point.
That's your point.
So,
and I get that. But if you asked me before the play, I would take Pete Crow Armstrong.
You know, Mike Tauchman was on the station yesterday.
Yes, he was.
And he was asked a question that's very similar to what you're talking about.
We mentioned that earlier. Do we have it?
We have the audio.
The glove is real for Pete. You know, I think that the cool thing about our outfield is that on any given day, you could have two or three center fielders playing all three spots.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously a calling card of our team is our defense. And, you know, I know that maybe from a surface area size, Wrigley Field's not one of the bigger outfields in baseball. But I think, you know, we've seen some insane weather conditions already this year in the few games that we've had out there. And, you know, being able to play the outfield is so critical, playing half our games in sort of a temperamental ballpark like Wrigley can be.
Hmm. Interesting answer.
Hmm. Well, he shows respect for PCA.
Yes, he does.
He shows respect for Wrigley Field because of its difficulty. It's a difficult place to play.
Yep.
Mike Tauchman, though, is a pretty humble guy. He has become very reliable.
Oh, he's
a better outfielder than I ever anticipated him being.
He's a dangerous player at the plate. And he's been very good defensively.
I know what it is that's bothering me. It's not even bothering me. It's way too strong. But, like, it's part of the way I viewed that play was that because Pete Crow Armstrong has a little of that flair and he catches these routine fly balls like he's a coolest kid in class.
Yeah.
And I like him. He's on my all-interview team already. You know that. But
I wouldn't even say like. I think it's stronger than that.
Okay. Perhaps.
I would say this.
Perhaps.
If he were a professional boxer, you might be in the corner there training him or
there might be.
Helping him. You're in his corner.
It's conceivable. But I think that if I were to give him some constructive criticism or advice, it'd be tone it down, kid. You know, I love your flair.
So in other
words, confidence is good.
In other words, he tried to make that play look better than it had to be. He tried to do the balletic kind of jumping movement when he could have just jumped up and caught it.
I don't know if he did, but the way he handles the routine plays makes that a fair question.
Okay. All right.
And I don't think you want to have that as a question. I don't think we're asking that about Mike Tauchman, and I don't think we're asking that about Cody Bellinger, and I don't think we're asking them about professionals that just do their jobs.
Let's try Glenn in Rockford. Hey, Glenn.
Good morning, guys. Listen, I looked at that replay very carefully in center field.
Mm-hmm.
His glove flexed. He had the ball in his glove, and his glove flexed like the mitt was too soft at the very end, and that's why he didn't catch it. Otherwise, he would have had it. He needs a better glove.
Maybe he needs to break it in better.
It's a glove problem.
It's a glove problem.
I like when someone makes a terrible play and then they look at the glove. Look, what the hell were you doing?
That's a habit.
Where were you?
Do you remember? It used to be the most fun thing to break in a new glove. I used to take this.
Sure.
You take shaving cream. You ever do that?
I have shaved.
I know you shaved. I used to take.
Not this morning.
I remember taking shaving cream. Learned this, I think, on the baseball bunch. Maybe remember Johnny Bench had the baseball bunch?
Of course.
You take shaving cream and you put it on your entire glove, and then you take a ball and you wrap it around and you put it under something, but you take shaving cream and that breaks it in.
Hmm.
And then when I see like gloves last night that fail major league players, I wonder, how do they break in their gloves? And have they ever pulled out the shaving cream and put it around their leather glove, their mitt?
There was nothing wrong with that play that shaving cream wouldn't have fixed. Let's try Eric. Eric is in Gary, Indiana. Gary, Indiana. Gary, Indiana.
Hey, Eric.
Hey, boys. I'm having a problem with the Chicago White Sox. Back in 22, yeah. I was a 20-game season ticket holder. The Sox were looking like they were going to the playoffs, so they sold playoff tickets in September. Of course, they didn't make the playoffs, and I pressed the wrong button, which says apply my money to next year's season ticket plan. And so next year, I didn't want to go to any Sox games. They were crappy. And I went to ask for my money back, and they said, well, no, we can't do that. Every time you want to go to a single game, use that money from your account. I said, okay, fine. I didn't go to a game all year. So this year, they're crappy again, and I'd like my money back. And they're not going to send it to me. They sent me a form. I have to prove a hardship, like I'm moving out of state or I'm sick or something like that.
I mean, you are sick because you're watching them play.
Yeah,
try that. Just try. I feel nauseous and unhealthy because I watch you.
What's the question?
I think he's just complaining.
Oh.
And we appreciate that and we're here for you. But, you know.
That was such a good conversation.
Get out there and get yourself a milkshake, for the love of God. You get out, go watch them play bad baseball and enjoy the ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
Find yourself a nice day game. Maybe.
White Sox play yesterday?
White Sox did play yesterday, and I did watch the game. Why? Yeah.
Exactly.
It's fair. I do watch the White Sox, and partly because I have friends that are texting. You know what? It's just hard to get out of the habit of watching games. It's hard. Like, if I know there are
not
two
as hard
games
as, that,
on.
That's hard to make it sound.
You know, it is.
They're terrible.
It is. Baseball is a habit.
Well, baseball is a habit, but there's a lot of options.
Yeah. I feel like I'm coming out of rehab. Like, I kicked heroin, and I'm not going to tune in again. And then, they're on?
Yeah.
How are they doing? Who's pitching?
So you got sick too watching the White Sox, just like our previous caller.
It's like Jane's addiction. I'm going to kick tomorrow.
Well, you never know. You're ready to stand up. on the south
312-644-6767. We got to get you the hater shirt. You deserve it. In fact, we got to get a round of hater shirts. That Shane had that shirt on. If it's on our Twitter feed, I thought that was pure class.
That was classic T-shirt hater. From Shane. Yeah, I'm this not a great. Hater. I just am not.
Okay, engrossed. I'll be the hater then. I'll be the hater if that's what you're demanding. And just so you know, we had a caller earlier said he loved us, and we said we love you too. And I like to share the love. But if you're going to hate me, White Sox, then you're going to create a hater. For all the haters out there, it's hard to stand up Southside when you had your legs chopped out from under you. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Say it with me. Say it proud for all the haters. Southside, stand up.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We've been talking about the Cubs game last night. We've been doing a post-game show. The way this has worked out, I feel like the game just ended.
Well, it's a post-game, pre-game. We're the bridge between the third and fourth game of the series. Those four-game series are kind of tricky. So last night ends in controversial fashion. Today doesn't have to be controversial at all. If Ben Brown takes care of business, how long are they going to go with Ben Brown today?
That's a good question. That's you know, again, I think that they're playing. They're in the midst of 16 consecutive games, and you get an outing like that from Shota, that helps your bullpen. That helps kind of stave some of this stuff off. And today the Cubs wrap up their series in New York against the Mets. The pregame coverage starts at 11:35. Wow. We are the pregame show.
We are.
And first pitch, 12:10. You can listen to every Cubs game in Chicagoland with the free Odyssey app. You should have it already downloaded. And it's wonderful.
It's going to be a big moment for Ben Brown. He's a New York native. I imagine he grew up with the heightened awareness of the Mets and the Yankees. So pitching at Citi Field in Queens has got to be something that was probably on his bucket list as a young kid. Growing up. So this is going to be a big start for him. And the Cubs big series begins tomorrow in town against the Brewers at Wrigley Field. So this is going to be a fun one today.
And you can celebrate the post game here with the Score too. You can join the Score in Budweiser today at Harry Carey's Tavern on Navy Pier. It's a beautiful day. Ride your bike down there for the 26th annual worldwide toast to Harry Carey. Parkins and Spiegel will be there broadcasting live from 4 to 7 after the Cubs game, and they'll have actor and comedian Jason Alexander, a.k.a. George Costanza. He'll be leading the toast at 5:30, and you'll also have a chance to register to win tickets to future Cubs home games. And the worldwide toast to Harry Carey is brought to you by Budweiser. And David, this Bud's for you.
You see, they're going to have 2 800-pound black Angus cows out
there.
Holy
cow.
800-pound cows.
But if you're calling them Angus cows, I'm not being mean. I just think, like, Navy Pier, you got a billy goat there. There's one down below us here.
But
cheeseburger. There's one down the street.
But this is the toast to Harry Carey, so they're holy cows.
I know, but eventually they'll be, if it's Angus beef, then we want to.
Don't tell them.
Give me a nice Angus
beef. Don't talk
beef
about
burger,
cheeseburgers
please.
In front of the cows, please.
I feel bad about it, but that goes through my head.
It's going to be quite an event.
Holy cow. Yeah. Chop that thing up and give me a steak.
Quite an event. Can't wait. Ooh. Beautiful day for it. So have some fun at Navy Pier.
Yeah. I mean, that's a wonderful place to go, Navy Pier. I'm just saying, the lakefront on a day like today, ride your bike down, do a toast, and then good luck riding your bike home.
Good running weather. Yep.
It's good. Oh, yeah. Run down there, do a toast.
Hey, we got a big hour coming up. We got a big jam-packed hour. Brian Baldinger is going to join us next, Steve Stone, and then Ryan Dempster, and then Carter Hawkins at 9 o'clock. Wow.
Yeah, we got a lot of people to talk to. We'll start with Baldy. We'll get his take on the Bears draft. I got to tell you, I think Baldy has known Caleb Williams for many a year. It'll be fun to get his take on what is upcoming for the Chicago Bears. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.